Managing Noisy Break Recordings in Ableton Live, Beginner Edition. This is drum and bass, this is jungle, and yes, the noise is part of the culture. Vinyl hiss, tape fuzz, room tone, crusty transients, that's flavor. The mistake is trying to delete all of it and ending up with a break that sounds like it's behind glass. So the real goal today is control. We're going to make a tight, rolling two-bar break that still has character, but hits hard and sits nicely with modern bass and synths. By the end, you'll have three layers working together: a clean main break, a parallel crunch layer for attitude, and a top layer for that modern tick and clarity. And we'll print it, so it's easy to arrange, chop, and make fills. All right, open Ableton Live and let's set this up. First, set your tempo to drum and bass territory, 170 to 175 BPM. Pick 174, if you don't want to think about it. Drag your break recording onto an audio track. In the clip view, turn warp on. Start with beats mode, and set preserve to transients. This is usually the most break-friendly starting point. If it sounds kind of grainy or glitchy, try changing preserve to 1/16th notes for a bit more stability. Or if the recording is messy and inconsistent, you can test Complex Pro. Just know Complex Pro can soften transients a little, so you're trading sharpness for smoothness. Quick teacher tip: don't obsess over warping every tiny hit. In DNB, it's way more important that the downbeat lands right, and your snare anchors feel consistent. Get those feeling solid, then decide if you even need more warp markers. Before we process anything, do a quick silence scan. Find a moment in the audio where the drums aren't hitting, where it's mostly just noise. Loop that small section for a few seconds and watch your meters. Listen for two kinds of noise. If it's tonal, like a hum at 50 or 60 Hz, or a whine, we're going to plan to notch it. If it's broadband SHHH, that's a dynamic control problem. That's where gating and multiband control shines. One more setup move that makes everything easier: clip gain. In clip view, adjust the gain so your loudest drum hits peak around minus 6 dB on the track meter. Not because it's a magic number, but because it keeps devices like gates and compressors behaving predictably. If your break is super quiet or super hot, you'll end up compensating with extreme thresholds and it gets messy fast. Now we start the actual cleanup. Step 1. Clean the extreme low end. Most noisy breaks have rumble, turntable thump, or random low energy you absolutely do not need, especially if you're writing modern DNB with a real sub-bass line. At EQ8, turn on a high-pass filter. Put it around 30 to 45 Hz. Use a 24 dB per octave slope so it's firm but not brutal. Then check your low mids. If it's still sounding a bit boomy or boxy, add a gentle bell dip around 180 to 300 Hz, maybe minus 2 to minus 4 dB, with a medium Q around 1.2. The goal is simple. Your break should not compete with your sub and kick fundamentals. The bassline needs that space. Step 2. Control hiss and harshness without dulling the break. A lot of old breaks have constant hiss living up around 6 to 12k. If you just EQ it out, you'll also delete the snap of the snare and the definition of the hats. So we'll tame it dynamically instead. Drop in multiband dynamics. We're going to use it as a gentle controller on the high band. Solo the high band while you set the crossover. Put the mid-high crossover somewhere around 4.5 to 6 kHz. Then in the high band, lower the threshold until you see the hiss dip slightly when it gets loud. Keep it subtle. Ratio around 2 to 1 or 3 to 1 max. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. What you're listening for is less spray in the air, but the snare still has crack. If you go too far and the break feels like a blanket got thrown on it, back off. And if you did slightly overtame it, you can add a tiny high shelf afterward with a Q8 around 8 to 10 kHz, plus 1 dB. Very subtle, just to restore a little excitement. Now step 3, the big one, removing noise between hits the DNB way. This is where the break starts sounding modern and punchy. Add Ableton's gate after your EQ and multiband. Set attack to 1 to 3 milliseconds, hold around 20 to 50 milliseconds, release around 60 to 140 milliseconds. Start with the floor all the way down, minus infinity, just so you can hear what the gate is doing clearly. Now play the loop and slowly move the threshold. You want it to close when the break is quiet, but open instantly when a hit happens. This is a sweet spot thing. Don't rush it. Important mindset: use the gate like a noise shaper, not like a hard chopper. If you start hearing clicks, raise the attack slightly, like 2 to 5 milliseconds. If the tails disappear and everything feels unnaturally short, increase the release, maybe 100 to 180 milliseconds. Here's a super useful coach note. If your noise feels like it's pumping or breathing in a weird way, it's usually not that you use too much gate. It's often timing, specifically release timing. Try to set the release so the noise fades behind the groove, not in front of it. If you want a musical shortcut, think in note values. At 174 BPM, a 1/16th note is pretty quick. An 1/8th note is longer. Try a release that feels like it's landing somewhere between that 1/16th to 1/8th range, depending on how busy the break is. Now, if the gate is struggling because the break is messy, we use the sidechain trick. Open the sidechain section in the gate and turn sidechain on. Set audio from to the same break track, or even better, a duplicate trigger track if you want to get fancy later. Inside the gate sidechain EQ, boost what you actually want the gate to listen to. Usually sere crack zones. Try 150 to 250 Hz for body and 2 to 4 kHz for crack. The idea is the gate reacts to the drum hit, not the hiss. Also, treat clicks and pops as their own problem. If there's a random vinyl pop, that can trigger the gate and compressor and make everything misbehave. Zoom in, split the clip right on the pop, turn that little slice down with clip gain, or replace it with a nearby clean slice and add a tiny crossfade. 2 minutes of cleanup here saves you like an hour of why is my gate freaking out. Step 4. Preserve punch. Because cleaning can shrink the break if you're not careful. Add drum bus after the gate. Set drive around 2 to 8%, depending on how crunchy you want it. Turn transients up, maybe plus 10 to plus 30. Keep boom off, or very low, because boom can fight your sub bass line in DnB. Use damp if it gets too bright. This is your put the knuckles back on the drum stage. After gating and dehissing, drum bus helps the break feel forward again. Now step 5, parallel character. This is where the break becomes both controlled and hype. Duplicate the break track. Name the original break clean. Name the duplicate break crunch. On break crunch, we're going to keep it out of the way of the subs. At EQ 8 and high pass it around 120 to 200 Hz. We are not letting this track bring low-end mud back into the mix. Optionally, add a small boost somewhere around 2 to 5 kHz if you want more bite. Then add saturator. Set it to analog clip. Drive it around 3 to 9 dB. Soft clip on. If you want extra old school grit, add redux after saturator, but be subtle. Maybe reduce to 10 or 12 bits, and a small amount of downsample, like 1.5 to 3. This can get nasty fast, so sneak up on it. Then compress the crunch layer, ratio 4 to 1, attack 10 to 30 milliseconds, release auto or 80 to 150 milliseconds. Aim for about 3 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Now blend break crunch under break clean. Think minus 12 to minus 20 dB quieter than the clean track. You want it so that when you mute it, you miss it. Not so that it sounds like a different loop takes over. Key pro tip, distortion raises noise. So if you distort the already noisy main track, you're amplifying the noise floor. That's why we clean first, then add crunch in parallel, and we keep that crunch filtered. Step 6, create a crisp top layer for modern clarity. Add a third track called Break T2P or use a clean hat loop if you have one. If you're using the break itself, filter it so it's basically only the top end. High pass around 6 to 8 kHz using auto filter or EQ8. If you want it a bit wider, add utility and set width around 120 to 160%. But check mono early, like right now. Temporarily set utility width to 0% and see if the hats vanish. If they do, pull the width back or keep the top layer more mono-friendly. Club systems do not care about your stereo hat poetry. Optionally add a tiny room reverb, very short decay, like 0.3 to 0.6 seconds, very low mix. Even better, put it on a return track and high pass the reverb so you're not washing the low mids with ambience. That top layer gives you that rolling zip without relying on hiss. Now step 7, resample, print, commit. This is where you stop endlessly tweaking and start making music. Create a new audio track called Break Print. Set its input to resampling. Record 4 to 8 bars of your layered break playing. Then consolidate a clean 2-bar loop with CMD or Control J. Once you've printed it, you can chop it in simpler using slice mode for fills, automate filter sweeps into drops, reverse tiny snare tails for jungle spice, all without worrying that three parallel tracks and a gate are changing slightly every time you touch something. Quick extra technique, if you want to level up later, microfades. After you consolidate and slice, add tiny fades on slice edges, like 1 to 5 milliseconds. This reduces crackle and makes rearranging much cleaner, and it takes pressure off the gate. Finally, step 8, arrangement. Let's make it feel like DnB, not just an 8-bar loop that repeats until the end of time. Here's a super reliable 32-bar idea. First 16 bars, intro with a low-pass filter slowly opening on the break group. Next 16 bars, drop with full break plus crunch layer. Every 8 bars, do 1 micro variation. Remove a kick hit for a moment, or do a 1-beat stop with silence and maybe a vocal stab, or make a quick snare roll with 1/16th repeats by slicing the print and duplicating a snare hit. And here's a really sick energy trick. Automate the gate floor. In the intro, raise the gate floor slightly so a little noise bed comes through, like -24 to -18 dB. It feels vintage and alive. Then on the downbeat of the drop, slam the floor lower, even to -infinity, so it gets clean and punchy. That contrast makes the drop feel bigger without turning anything up. Before we wrap, a few common mistakes to avoid. Overgating. If it stutters or breathes, ease the threshold and lengthen the release. Overwarping. Don't grid every micro hit. Anchor the important transients. Killing all the top end with EQ. Use multi-band control so you keep crack and tick. Letting the break carry sub-energy. High-pass it. Your bass needs room. And saturating the noisy main track. Clean first, then crunch in parallel. Mini practice exercise, quick and effective. Load a noisy classic break on the main track. EQ 8 high pass 35Hz, 24 dB slope. Then gate with attack 2ms, hold 30ms, release 110ms. Then drum bus with transients plus 20 and drive around 4%. Duplicate for crunch. High pass 160Hz, saturator drive 6 dB. Compress 4 to 1, lend crunch low, around -12 to -20 dB. Then print 4 bars and make 1 variation. Reverse a tiny snare tail, or add a 1/16th fill at the end of bar 4. Your deliverable. Export an 8-bar loop that has an intro vibe and a drop vibe. Then a slash be it with and without the gate. If the gated version feels tighter and hits harder without sounding lifeless, you nailed it. Recap in plain language. Cut rumble first. Then tame hiss dynamically. Gate the gap so the break slams. Add punch back with drum bus. Layer clean, crunch, and top for control plus vibe. This audio version is shortened for playback.